Welcome to Getting Vocal. We are live January 1st, 2014. In Studio A at Voice Praise Worship Center in beautiful Bluewell, West Virginia. I am Dr. Dave, and I got a whole slew of people in here today. Let's start with Shiny.
Hey, guys.
Glad to have you back, Shiny.
Glad to be back.
Whitney.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. Tia.
Hola.
What's up?
Nothing much.
Heath.
Hey.
And Brittany.
Hey.
A little louder, please.
Hey.
We're so glad to have you along. If you're listening live as we record on Extreme Voice Radio, you can interact with us if you'd like. You can do so at facebook.com/Extreme Voice Radio. Again, that is facebook.com/Extreme Voice Radio. Shout out to Danny, our engineer in the next room. Glad to have you along. Appreciate your help, sir. Letting the music go. So you guys just came back from where?
The ramp, Dave.
The ramp. It was in Cleveland, Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir.
Cleveland, Tennessee. Bet a lot of people didn't even know there was a Cleveland in Tennessee.
Right near Chattanooga.
Yeah, it's kind of the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah, okay. So these guys, I wanted to have them on the show today because they're bouncing off the walls and going nuts because they came back from the ramp, and the ramp seems to do that to people. I've followed Karen Wheaton for years, who heads this stuff up. Is that correct? Correct me if I'm wrong, because you guys have all the latest information. Good stuff. Very good ministry. And that's why we're piling all these people in the studio today, is because we want to tell you all about it. Yeah. So everybody's just kind of nodding.
We're agreeing with
you. Yeah.
They're excited, but they're tired. Kind of got this paradoxical air to the room here. It's very interesting.
Happens when you run on 4 hours of sleep.
Oh, I would say so.
Yeah. Three services a day.
All right. Well, I guess you all get to rest tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody got to get up early tomorrow?
What was
that? Did she see our sign? Just wondering. Okay.
That wasn't me. I was calling.
Who was it? No?
None of us.
Well, we have ourselves a mystery. Okay. No one wants to fess up. That's all right. It's okay. That's funny, though.
Want to know why it's called the ramp?
Yeah, why is it called the ramp? That's okay. A great question.
Well, Karen Wheaton said it's called the ramp because it's like, you know how a ramp takes you from somewhere else and takes you higher? And
right.
She said that's what it does. It, like, starts you from
takes you from one level to the next.
Yeah, and she said it's, like, from glory to glory.
To glory. To glory.
To glory.
That's pretty cool. Where I drive a lot, it makes me think of an interstate ramp. I'm getting off of one road and getting onto a better road.
Yeah.
Oh. Hopefully it's a better road. In this case, I would say it would be. Yeah, okay. So the ministry in general is geared towards just that, I would say.
What's that?
What do you think? Getting people from
glory to glory.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. Cool deal. So what stuck out the most? Don't everybody speak?
Let me tell you, Dave. Seeing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids and adults just praising God, lifting up their hands, jumping, singing, praying. It's just amazing.
When there was total freedom, not feeling like they were bound by, you know, oh, I can't raise my hands or I can't do this, but they were just going all out, hardcore for the Lord.
Where do you think that bondage comes from?
I think we ourselves make it.
Yeah, I mean, I personally have sat in a church service and like, oh, I don't want to raise my hand because this guy beside me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things, too. One of the girls yesterday actually was up front. It was one of the teenagers from I don't know where. But Karen Wheaton asked her and said, what's something that God has done for you? And she said that God had broken off her fear of man. And so that's kind of cool. And
fear
I felt like
man.
That was one of the big things that happens when you're somewhere like that, because you suddenly feel the freedom and you feel like you can worship and you're suddenly like, you know what? My God's a big God, and I don't care if anyone's going to judge me for what I do, because I'm doing it for him. I'm not doing it for anyone else.
That's cool. Can I pick on you a second?
Yeah.
Oh, she looks at me. That face. Like, oh no. I've heard you say, as a worship leader, that at times, XYZ, because they're judging me.
Yeah.
You remember saying that?
Yes.
Okay.
All the time.
So, how does breaking off the fear of man apply to a worship leader?
I mean...
Is that a good question?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I just...
I feel like it's the same concept, though.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And one of the big things that someone said was that... I don't remember who said it, but I was telling my mom, because she's a worship leader, and he said it, and I was like, I need to tell my mom. And he was saying that if you're leading worship and it doesn't take you personally anywhere spiritually, then something's wrong. Because when you're leading worship, you're supposed to be pressing in as far and as hard as you can go, because you're leading people. And how did he say it? He said, you want to give God the best that you have. And when you give God the best that you have, then something's going to happen.
He also said something about whenever you're in church and you think you're thinking to yourself, or you tell someone that you're not getting meaning from that, then that's your own fault, because it's you and God, not you and the church or you and the people.
Okay,
it's
so you. Like if Joe Grouch comes into the Joe Grouch comes in from the, off the street and said, "Well, I didn't get anything out of that service."
Is that
what you're talking about? That sort of thing? That mentality?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had a pastor once that would say, well, your wood's wet.
I don't know what that means.
And you can't burn it.
Oh,
there's no fire.
Got you.
They also said, because there's a bunch of high schoolers and even middle schoolers there, and, well, even college-age kids sit in church and instead of paying attention, talk.
Right.
And he was saying, sometimes you just, there are chains that need to be broken spiritually, and there are people that need to be broken off from your life. And he was saying that...
that too?
Yeah.
Guilty.
And he was saying that sometimes you might just have to look at your friend and say, hey, I can't sit beside you during church anymore, because I want to pay attention and I want to get something from God while I'm at church, because that's what I came for.
He was like, so, go to the front. He was like, don't worry about what they think. Just go to the front. Leave them in the back if they want to stay back there. He was like, you're there to usher into God's presence.
I like this. Going to the front. It's good stuff, guys. Got the head bobbing going on. Facebook.com/Extreme Voice Radio if you want to interact. We'll check that here in a moment. Don't have it up yet. We'll get there. Danny's laughing at me. Yeah. Okay, just making sure. Okay, so great. Oh boy, there's so much we could cover, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I know you guys have stories to tell, but I have to ask one question. How did Tia drive?
Oh my Lord.
That's probably a question that we don't want to talk about.
Listen, we made it here in one piece. And we got home in one piece.
Let's just say we ran over a curb.
We might be here in one piece physically.
Mentally, we ain't.
Let's just say that there were two in particular red lights that could have gone a different way.
A curb that shouldn't have been ran over.
A car in particular that was in front of us that probably was going to kill us because of the constant beep.
I'm pretty sure the horn in the van doesn't work anymore.
Hey, I was trying to save everybody else, okay?
Yeah, they were probably thinking the same thing.
You can't see, like, this is one of the times that we need video, because it looks like...
Okay, all right. I won't be mean anymore.
She did great coming home, though.
We got home in 3 hours.
Yeah, we did get home a lot faster than when before we left going there.
On the way there, we had a two-hour detour.
It wasn't 2 hours.
The GPS said right, he went left.
I knew where I was going for
turn
the most part.
Right. Yeah,
GPS, who needs a GPS?
I'm just saying the GPS stopped working and kind of just gave up on
what
us.
What did that preacher say instead of Siri?
Serena.
Serena. He said,
we have a need to
have a black Jeep or Siri.
We need a black Siri and name her Serena. And she'd have attitude instead of saying, on your next... And like
turn left, boo!
And be said,
take a left!
Why didn't you take a left?
He was using it, though, like, that's how Christians, we need it sometimes, of someone just to tell us straight up. Instead of being all sweet and say, turn right here, you need to be a turn right, fool.
Turn right.
Okay.
I think I sound more hip.
Well, I'm entertained. I don't know about you guys.
But then this one guy, he was like, Jesus had a bunch of brothers and sisters, stepsisters. And he was like, if someone's being mean to Jesus, being mean to him, they'll be like, Jesus is my brother.
I'm going to go get my brother.
I'm going to tell my brother. On
and then if one of his brothers or sisters came in and said, Jesus, we're hungry. All right. I'll take care of that.
I'll give you some wine or something. That's what he said.
Fishes and loaves, huh?
Yeah.
That's good.
But it was actually a good point. Because then
there was another one that was like, Jesus, it's raining outside and we want to play. All right, I got you.
We'll turn this off.
That's pretty cool.
But it was a good point because he was like, but you know what? We're actually all brothers and sisters.
He said, don't no matter if you're like, black, white, and
that's
anything.
Really cool. I didn't know he was getting at that point, and then he did, and I was like, oh my gosh.
All right. Well, okay, question. So worship's off the hook, obviously. Message is probably good, too.
Oh.
Drives it home, right?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes. Yeah.
Can I get each one of you to tell me what's the one point you got there that you're going to bring home with you? I think that's one way of... I think it's a good question.
Yeah. That we wanted to bring home with us?
Yeah, I mean, what did you pick up on that was out of this world and you're going to apply it?
Oh, I gotcha.
Who wants to start?
You can go first.
Okay, I'll go. Okay. It was actually during worship, which worship was amazing. Each time there was people just worshiping, but Eddie James said, awakening is coming to my city. Awakening is coming to my land. And he was like, an army is arising. And he was telling us that our generation is going to arise and we're going to stand up. And that's just something I want to bring home with me. I want to come here and just spread the gospel, show love to everybody.
Okay, so you're ready to plunder the town here.
I am.
Great. Whitney.
Okay. Actually, can I say two things?
You may.
Okay. One of the things that I got was that no matter what you're doing, oh gosh, I'm going to do three.
She's on fire tonight.
Was that no matter what you're doing, do it for the glory of God and give 100%, even if you don't feel like it.
Oh, really?
Even if you're stacking chairs, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I'm just smirking because I taught a lesson at youth a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia couldn't be here and I filled in for her. And yeah, I have to get you a copy of my notes because God's cool like
okay,
that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And
okay.
Then, so that was one thing. And then the other thing was, and this one kind of hit home because I really want to figure out what I want to, like, do. And sometimes I just feel like there's a feeling that there's more to life than just going to school and just going through the motions. And I think it was the first night one of the worship leaders said, it's easy now to just live the American dream. And then another guy said, you can either make money or you can make history in the kingdom of God. And I thought that was a really good point because, like, when you get to heaven, the money that you make on earth, it's not going to matter.
That's true.
But what you did on earth to bring others to the kingdom of God with you, that's going to matter.
So the only thing you can take with you are souls.
Yes.
That's it. Good point. Was that three, really?
That was only two.
Okay. You want a third one?
I forgot it. But
Oh, can I add
I'll
another
come
one?
Back to it, probably.
We'll come back.
Okay.
Tia.
Actually, I want to go last.
Oh, Heath.
He's like, there's so many.
It's like a car. That's like a car speeding in. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. That's a tough question. There's just so much that was said.
Yeah.
It's hard to take one thing from it.
Makes sense.
I did like the part of the breaking you of the fear of man.
Mm. Always a goodie.
When you're trying to be in the presence of the Lord and you have that fear of man, it's hard to get in to his presence.
Yeah, that is hard in a corporate setting, especially when you're on the platform. I don't even think we should have a platform, but that's just me.
You see everybody looking at you, and
I can't see
you
anybody.
Keep thinking that is true.
See, you have an advantage, man. You're in a box.
And you keep thinking they're looking at me, and what if I mess up and do something wrong? And sometimes you just have to think, I'm worshiping my God. It's between me and him. No one else is around. You got to look at it like no one else is around. And sometimes it's really hard.
I like to think of it this way. Before the blood of Jesus is applied to us, what kind of mess do we look like in front of God anyway? Uh-huh, yeah.
True.
So do you have more to add to that?
That was a big breathe.
Yeah, we can hear.
Oh, man.
How about you, Brittany?
I don't know. I guess that our generation is the new generation that can change everybody. And if one person changes one, then that one person can turn into hundreds and eventually turn into thousands and just keep changing people.
Mm, exponential growth. Myriads in heaven.
And we can't stay in our boundaries. We gotta go out. Like,
uh-huh.
That's the worst, like, worst thing I felt
that
is going out.
That was one of my points. It was that,
I get so scared talking to people, like, that's not, this is gonna be bad, but, like, they don't act like me. You know what I'm saying, Dave? They don't look like me. They don't do what I do. They don't like what I like. And sometimes it's hard to just walk up to them and tell them about God, but we got to.
Yeah. And the point that he made, who said it? Jake Hamilton said it. Yeah, Jake Hamilton said it, and he said, you can't change the world if you're trying to fit into it.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And yeah. He said, excellent. Sometimes you just have to put the Bible down and talk about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk about him, and then... It was just so amazing, Dave.
Yeah, I'm getting that. It is. This is nothing but wisdom I'm hearing anyway. That's pretty cool. Okay, Tia, I'm back to you. No, I'm not either.
Hold up there.
The one guy that taught, what was his name? About he had to do all the numbers and whatnot.
Perry Stone.
My main man.
Okay.
What do you say? Was it the salt and pepper guy?
Yeah.
Salt and pepper guy.
So he was like, that salt and pepper guy's preaching tonight.
I've read a book by him. It's a pretty good book, too.
He did a really good
job. He can sing, too.
Anyways.
Sorry, yeah, go
ahead. He made a really good point that with all the other religions, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhism, whatever religions there are, and their religious books, the Quran, or I don't know what the other ones are, but Christians have the Bible, but Christianity is the only one where you can actually prove that our God is real. And he had a good point and said, one of his friends was a Muslim, and he was like, Mr. Perry, how is it that when we pray to our God, nothing happens? And when you pray, it's... What did he say? He's like...
When you pray, you can make the rain stop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said...
It was really good.
He went to Israel, when he got off the plane, they said it was going to rain. And he said, he was there for 18 days, right?
I don't remember.
And he said, when he walked off the plane, it is not going to rain while I'm here. And they were like, but Mr. Stone, we haven't had rain in a long time. We want rain. And he's like, it is not going to rain while I'm here. He said, 18 days, not rain or nothing.
He said, there wasn't a cloud in the sky.
And he was like, when I got on that plane, I was like, you can go ahead and do it, Lord. And when it went up, he said it started pouring to rain. And it even snowed in Israel.
Mm.
He said, that's my God.
It's pretty fantastic. Reminds me of a story once where a Muslim guy was talking to a Christian and said, how sad it must be that you can't go to the grave of your God like we can ours. Mm. And the Christian's like, oh, really? I think it's kind of awesome we don't have a grave to go to.
Exactly.
Sort of proves our point. That's pretty cool. Let's see, how many days were you guys gone?
We left Sunday.
Four. Yeah, four.
Okay, so you were here Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was not here Sunday morning. So
worship was really good.
Yeah, worship was actually pretty good.
Okay,
Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I tuned in for a little while.
I broke two sticks.
All right. Well, I have a feeling worship's going to be really good Sunday.
Never know.
Well, you know, if you're a man and all that, right? You're going to break.
We're all pumped.
Break all that off, right?
Break every chain.
There it is.
They were singing that song too, and he had everybody put his hands up, and they were like, break every chain, break every chain. And you see thousands and thousands, even like four-year-olds, worshiping God and mm-hmm. saying, break every chain. And then you just felt God's presence like coming over you and just making you relax. And
it's actually kind of addictive to talk about.
Oh, I'm sure. And you know, what I'm getting, this is amazing to me, because this is what I think. I think as amazing of an experience as you guys had with worship at the Ramp, and how awesome that is, and how wonderful that is to experience, and how addictive it can be, since we're throwing that word around, that's not the best part.
No.
The best part is what comes after that, the wisdom. What happens in the quiet time afterward. You know, when most people get on their high and then they crash, that's what's cool about this Holy Spirit high. You don't crash. You will come down, but that's when the wisdom hits. That's when things happen. That's when ideas come. That's when things that move heaven happen. And that's what I'm witnessing here today.
There was a question that was asked and said, they did a questionnaire. Karen felt like she should sit down and kids write questions on the paper. And when we came back, they sat down in front of us and they answered them. And one of the questions that was mostly asked was, how do I take this fire that I got here back home with us?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, it's all you. He said, you have to make the time for God. Sit time, put it in your calendar. And I know one guy said that he made his bedroom a sanctuary. And that was how he spent his time with God.
There it is.
Yeah.
See, that's an amazing thing when you're doing survival. How do you transport fire from one place to another? I mean, there's several ways, but the method that like Indians use was what they called a fire bundle. You would take bark and leaves and things and wrap it real tight with the burning coal in the center, and it would just sit there and smolder, and it could transport it. And that's what each of you guys are. It's what we're all called to be, is keeper of the flame. And how do you keep that smoldering? How do you safeguard that fire? You have to stir it up periodically, and then you're able to deliver it to where it needs to go, and then it combusts and starts burning and goes crazy. Tia, I am back to you again before someone else jumps in.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I just want to say that, you know, God has changed even me. Well, not just saying, not just even me, but you know,
it was a toughie.
Yeah,
it was a hard one.
Even me. No, but you know, just seeing people being free in the spirit, letting us know that we don't have to be bound by change. And in fact, this group that did go with me, you all that did go with it, God gave us the name the awakened seekers, because now we have let go of the change. We're seeking God and wanting to go higher. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to, you know, do this out of love. Because one guy spoke, it was Karen Wheaton's son-in-law, and he said, since when did Jesus stop being enough? And, you know, a lot of times we tend to judge people, saying, you know, oh, if you stop doing this, or if you don't stop doing this, for example, they said, you know, if you're having sex with somebody, you're going to go to hell, or if you don't give tithes and offering, you're going to go to hell. And we're always preaching fire and brimstone about everything if we don't do something. But he said, you know, what Jesus did when the woman was caught in adultery, he said he did not judge her. Right. He just loved her.
Right.
And that's what we need to do, is just love on people. He said, when did Jesus stop being enough? Why do we have to add things to it? Why do we have to, you know, say, oh, well, if you don't do this, you're going to do this. I mean, something's going to happen. You're going to get an STD or something. And, you know, all that stuff is true. And people know this stuff. But they have to feel the love of God. Mm-hmm. They have to feel the love of Jesus. And that is what we're trying to do. Trying to go out and win souls for Christ with love. Not mm-hmm. with judgment. Not with persecution. But with love.
That is so refreshing to hear.
And that hit me hard at home, because I have that problem. And I know I do.
You do?
Yes.
I love you, Shane.
And I've been working with it for a long time. And I think God just broke that off of me when at the ramp. That's one thing that God broke off of me when the pastor was preaching it. Because we're all human. We're all sinners.
Praise God. Yeah, it's true. It's very true. We were not called, I've said this before, we were not called to police the world. No. That is not our job. That is just, you know, wages of sin is death. The Bible's very clear on that. So there's no need to police anything, because the consequences are in place. Our job is to rescue people from that. And how do you do it? You know, not by hitting them over the head with it, but by loving them and doing exactly what Jesus would do.
See, I see it like a kid, you know, when the mom says or dad says, don't touch the stove, you're going to get hurt. The kid's going to touch it just to see. And if we see people that are doing something that we know isn't right, if we just go over there and hug them and talk to them and just be with them, it's going to help.
You're just showing them a better way.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. No, don't do that, or that's wrong, or that. It's like, let's just do this. This is better. That's Jesus.
Somebody, I think it was Karen's son-in-law. He had a good point and said that Jesus was a friend of sinners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Said, what better name than a friend of sinners? No matter what you're doing, Jesus said he forgives you. It doesn't matter how big or how small, because everybody's human. You make mistakes.
That is cool.
It's going to happen.
I mean, the friend of sinners thing was meant to be a criticism.
Yeah.
But it was coming from Pharisees. I mean, you're right. How awesome is it?
You know, the church is very hard on, let's not go out to that area and preach to them people.
It's a tough one.
But
we've seen that here.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it in ministry. We've had people stay home from things because they didn't like where we were going. But again, I've done it.
And
yeah.
Now I see that's wrong. God went out to those people.
Mm-hmm.
If we're supposed to be a mirror image of the Lord, and we're supposed to go out and show the love of God to people, we can't show it to people that's already in the church, that's already saved. If we're going to win people's souls, we got to go out there.
That is very accurate. Was you going to say something?
But it kind of went off topic a little.
Well, I understand, but that's okay.
We can bring it back.
You're good.
Well,
we got a minute.
I was just going to say, I think it was the same guy, Miss Karen's son-in-law, that was the one that said, the prostitute. And back then, when you had to get forgiven for a sin, you had to go back and correct all your wrongs. and he was saying how, like, a prostitute can't go back and correct all her wrongs. Like, she would have ruined
a marriage,
families and marriages, and
right.
Wives would have been home at night crying because their husband wasn't by their side and stuff. And how awesome it was that Jesus just looked at her and said, "You're forgiven."
And she took the thing that was around her neck that had the perfume that she would... The Bible, he said he thinks that the Bible said means, like, she would put it on her people before she would...
Right.
You know? She put that on God's feet. She took it off. And he said people thought that she was making a move on God. No, he said no. She was pouring it on his feet saying that she didn't want that no more.
Right. Wow. It's pretty cool. You got anything else, Tia?
Oh, we so got much. Lots to say.
Well, I'm sure. Of course, we are kind of out of time, but you were you headed this bunch up. You sum it up for us.
Well, basically, I know that this is going to be a generation to change the nation because they are hungry, they are seeking, they want more of God. And, you know, since we've been to the ramp, we know how to give love to people. We know how to, you know, break the chains of bondage. We know how to worship in freedom. And now when we start worshiping, we don't care what other people think. Because that time when everybody else was silent and I was, you know, jumping up and down and everything, because the power of God hit me. Because there was many times in my life where... Because you said, the guy was like, you know, the only name that you can call on is Jesus. When you're about in that accident, the only name that can help you is Jesus. And that reminded me of many times when I was on, you know, Pinnacle Mountain and I slipped on ice and I was going full force heading toward a car. All I could say was the name of Jesus. That's the only name I could say. And that, the name of Jesus took my car, and I don't know how he did it, but I did not hit anybody else. And there was another time when another car was coming out of control, coming toward me full force. And all I said was, Jesus. The one word that we can say that will change things, that will break, you know, bondages off, is Jesus. There is no other name more powerful than the name of Jesus.
And that's truth. Amen.
Said, let me say something real quick. He also said that we have the power to heal the sick. He said we have the power to break bondages to everything. And us as Christians, we're holding back.
Absolutely.
He said we need to step forward. We have the power. God gave us the power when we accepted him.
One of the most exciting things that you can experience, you know, is similar to what you've all experienced, the ramp. But what's even more awesome than that is to bring your fire home and see it spread.
Yes.
And also, a lot of people supported us in this ministry, and we praise God, because without the support of our church family members, it would have been a lot more expensive for us to go.
Yeah.
I mean, they
thank
practically
you.
Paid for our trip. Our van was paid for. The hotels
awesome.
Was paid for. The gas was paid for. So God wanted us.
All we had to do was pay for our food.
Yeah.
And I feel like the best thing that we can do to say thank you is to bring the fire home.
Amen.
And to ignite it in this area.
Because that's what we wanted. When we went down there, we were like, we want to get the fire back in our church, in our community. We want to bring the fire back.
And not just temporarily.
We want it to stay.
Awesome. Guys, thank you. I'm excited. This is great. So, been interviewing the young adults here, and their new name is?
The Awakened Seekers.
The Awakened Seekers. They just came back from the ramp, and I've enjoyed speaking with you guys today about it. Just a couple of quick things. You're listening to Getting Vocal Podcast. We will be recording live again next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with special guest Jason Snapp. Jason Snapp's a local pastor in this area, and
awesome.
We're looking forward to having him on. And so if you could join us for that, you can catch it live on Extreme Voice Radio next Wednesday or in the podcast thereafter. So Getting Vocal, Extreme Voice Radio, all of these things are ministries of Voice of Praise Worship Center, and you can access the podcast along with other resources at VOPWC.org. By the way, you can donate there too now. We have a online offering donation thing. Just go to the website, click on that, and help us out. We'd love to hear from you. Facebook.com/Extreme Voice Radio if you'd like to share with us. And we just want to thank you for having us along. And, oh, yeah, I also want to thank you for 10,000 downloads of our podcast in 2013.
That's awesome. Great.
Yeah. Yay. So, that applause is for you. It's kind of loud, but that's okay. So, on behalf of Danny, our engineer in the other room, we're going to say goodbye. We got Heath.
Bye, guys.
See you, man. Brittany.
See ya.
Tia.
See you later.
Whitney.
Bye.
Shiny.
Bye, guys.
I'm Dr. Dave. We'll catch you next week on Getting Vocal. See you then. Yeah.